The exhibit Pride and Passion, the African-American Baseball Experience, opens tomorrow. Tomorrow or today? I've seen January 3rd and I've seen January 2nd.
The exhibit is up today, but we have our first program tomorrow.
Excellent.
So you could say it's a little bit of both.
All right. Well, let's just say it's now, it's here, it's now, and it's very exciting. This is a touring exhibition which chronicles the remarkable history of baseball's Negro Leagues and the challenges and successes of African-American baseball players, opening now in the library's Rotunda area. An accompanying program, which Tom just mentioned, is a series that features lectures that relate the history of pre-integration baseball and the days leading to Jackie Robinson's efforts to break the color barrier in America's national pastime. The public is invited to view the exhibit during regular library hours through February 24th. Tom Lawrence is the library director with the Poughkeepsie Public Library System, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him this morning to give us a preview of this very cool exhibit. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
This exhibit has been around for a while, and its origin, I find, is interesting because it really ultimately came out of the American Library Association.
Yeah, it did. Well, the touring exhibit came out of the American Library Association in conjunction with funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities, which likes to take locally staged exhibits of national interest and get them into more secluded areas, if you might say, of the country. And secluded meaning more remote from the original place where the exhibit was.
Right.
One could argue that Poughkeepsie's not that remote from Cooperstown, where this exhibit is permanently housed, but it's amazing how many people in the Hudson Valley sort of forget to go over the mountain to Cooperstown to see what's there and to experience the Baseball Hall of Fame. So it's great that we've been on the list of libraries that are receiving this exhibit. We were notified in April of 2008 that we had this exhibit coming, so it's been a long time in our planning.
And you get it for 2 months, and it's a nice opportunity for people to come in. But before we talk about the specifics of the exhibit, which is quite extraordinary, let me talk a little bit about the importance of having types of exhibits like this in a library setting?
We find it very important. Our first exhibit was in 2008 or 2007, where we hosted the Alexander Hamilton exhibit that had been produced at the New York Historical Society.
Right.
And it brings people into the library that wouldn't ordinarily go because it's an extension of programming that they might not have typically thought that a library would do. Libraries are famous for story hours for children, book discussions, but not necessarily for scholarly-led presentations on exhibits. When we did Alexander Hamilton, we had a large number of schools go through the exhibit. We had a docent script so that people were led through the exhibit on its by people who understood what was in the exhibit. We had the curator of the exhibit come and kick that event off. And as we've hosted other exhibits, whether it was Lewis and Clark and the expansion of the Northwest, whether it was about Lincoln and the Constitution or Lincoln and the Civil War, we've really reached out to find the national scholars who are qualified to come and talk to us about the exhibit. And in most cases, there were people who curated or had a key role in developing the exhibit, as we do for this one as well.
And I would think, and why the ALA would be involved, and why both the humanities would fund National Humanities would fund something like this, is you also look at it as a gateway where it'll get people through the doors to realize what is in their backyard, what is perhaps over the hill, and happening at their local library.
Oh, I agree. You know, when people walk into our library and they see a nice display of materials, book and non-print material that they can borrow about African-American baseball, which is something that, you know, a lot of people probably don't think about normally, but it's fascinating. And even if I'm not a big baseball fan, I know you are. Every time you talk about the Phillies, I think of you, and I really
Thank you. I
prayed for you this last season because it was pretty abysmal.
Yeah.
But I'm not a baseball fan, but what this exhibit brings is way beyond baseball. You know, yeah, you're going to hear about the stats of players and stuff like that, but it's more of a social civic lesson about what the integration of baseball did and what the African-American baseball player had to endure during the Jim Crow era, that is just a microcosm and probably a little more approachable for people it's a microcosm of what all African Americans had to experience, you know, from Reconstruction through integration after World War II.
It is. I'm glad you use the word approachable, because I think that's one of the things that struck me of the exhibit, and the fact that it is it takes a subject which is very defined and allows you really to have kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end of a story. And by end, I mean brings us to a point where there's integration within baseball, but also leaves the question marks open of you know, how are we dealing with all this now, which any good exhibit does, I think.
A good exhibit and a good series of programs really leads you to think more and to look for more answers,
right.
To search for more understanding as to why certain things were the way they were. And I think this exhibit and the programs that we're offering will do a lot to have the viewer and the participant go for that.
You have many programs that are going on. As you mentioned, the first is tomorrow. And then most of the programs will be taking place on Sundays and from now through the 24th, and giving people an opportunity to go a little bit in depth and further on various aspects of this.
Correct. We kick off the program series tomorrow evening in the auditorium. It's 6:30. It's a little bit of an odd start time, but given the winter months, we try and go for things a little earlier. But if it ain't got that swing, it's how black baseball and music were sort of come together in the Jim Crow era. And we have Dr. Lawrence Hogan, who was on the Veterans Committee that helped put this exhibit together and select the initial Hall of Famers for the African-American section of the Hall of Fame for the Negro Leagues. He's going to come and talk to us about the historical perspective. Dr. Robert Svorniak from Rhode Island College is going to come and talk to us about the music perspective. And we actually have a former Negro Leaguer, James Robinson, coming up from New York City to talk with us. And it really proves to be a great way to kick the entire series off, because we're not focusing just on baseball, but that whole cultural milieu that sort of, you know, works towards the Harlem Renaissance, brings in that whole notion of that subtext of African American life and culture, and how it flourished in and of its own as a subtext to normal white society, as you would say, in the late 1800s, going into pretty much up to World War II.
I'm skipping around just a little bit, but one of the programs that you have that I think is great because it is something you've taken this exhibit and very much brought it into the region, which is black barnstorming in the Hudson Valley, specifically looking at how this impacted our region.
Yeah, Bob Meyer from Peekskill is going to come and talk to us about what he has unearthed in his research. He's a member of SABRE, the Society for the... It's a society of baseball researchers.
Yeah.
And he has not only good information, but he has memorabilia about that time frame that he's going to bring and display. And there was quite a bit of barnstorming, both black and white barnstorming in the Hudson Valley. You know, baseball, when we think of baseball now, we think of big city leagues that, you know, like, but it was much more approachable in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. You know, most towns had might not have been a minor league, but a team that everybody went out to watch, because that's what you did.
Right.
You know, baseball was the American pastime. And so he's got a lot of stuff from what was going on in the Hudson Valley in the 20s and the 30s.
One of the other exhibits, and he's been a guest on our show, Gregory Gibson Kenny, who is going to portray Jackie Robinson, he is remarkable, very cool. I think we've met him actually over at the Baseball Hall of Fame for a broadcast we did over there, but very, very cool.
We're very happy to have, it would have been great to have had Jackie Robinson, but he's not available to us.
Right.
So having a very qualified impersonator is great. And we're having an afternoon conversation with Jackie Robinson, and he's going to be visiting some of the local schools the following day to bring this program into some of the schools, more not about baseball, but maybe about civil rights and what Jackie Robinson did to advance the notion of civil rights in this country in the late 40s and early 50s.
I mean, obviously there's an interactive part to it, but really like a one-man show kind
Correct.
Of thing. Yeah.
And, yep.
And very, very well, very, very well done. And then also the history of Negro League baseball, discussions on that, segregation, integration, and beyond, and F.M. Manley and the Negro Leagues. Again, going to Marist College for some...
Jim Overmeyer, who lives in Lenox but is an adjunct at Marist, is going to come and talk to us. He's a researcher in Negro League baseball, and he's going to talk to us about Effa Manley and what she and her husband did to advance not only baseball for the African American but civil rights through baseball. She was of mixed race background, it's believed, and she, after her husband died, continued to work very hard to see that the African American baseball player advanced and was slowly integrated into the regular baseball scene. And I think, you know, again, it's amazing that not only did somebody worked very hard, but a woman worked very hard, and she's in fact in the Hall of Fame and was successful in helping to integrate baseball.
It is, again, just one of the many programs going on. Talk a little bit and I realize I skipped over this, but of some of the actual artifacts and documents that are within the exhibit.
Well, the exhibit is a two-dimensional exhibit because the artifacts are at Cooperstown. All these exhibits that come through are two-dimensional. But there are six panels. Each panel is about 18 feet wide, so it's chock full of information. And it covers a series of basically thematic years. The first panel is from 1860 to 1887. You know, people got to remember baseball predates the Civil War. And that section of the exhibit is called Finding a Way in Hard Times. And it basically covers the years after the Civil War and how baseball was affected by deepening racial prejudices in the country. You know, there was such an attempt to have the recently freed African-American slaves become part of our society in some quarters of our society that wanted this. And baseball was a way to try and do that. But there was great reluctance on the part of white owners to allow African Americans on their teams, and it just sort of set that stage for the long battle to come, both in baseball and other sports as well as society in general. And the other panels talk about barnstorming, how there were separate leagues because there were two separate, you know, there was the white league and there was the African American or the Negro leagues, of which there were several Negro leagues, both major and minor, mostly limited to the Northeast and sort of the northern portion of the Midwest. For obvious reasons, it didn't develop much in the South. But, you know, the Negro Leagues really hit their heyday when African Americans started getting a bigger paycheck and had more disposable income to go watch games during World War II. And that seemed to be the golden years of the Negro Leagues, was just prior to World War II and just following that time period where there was much more disposable income. But then the pressures after having fought for this country, why can't they play baseball for this country, sort of moved us into the Jackie Robinson era. And when there were baseball players sort of recruited to determine who would be the first one to help break the barrier, they interviewed three. They subjected the three to a lot of torment, apparently, you know, to get them. How were they going to react to lots of racial epithets and slurs being hurled at them by the white audiences? And Jackie Robinson sort of rose to the occasion. And he was the one who broke the color barrier. And then the last couple of panels talk about Jackie Robinson and his career, as well as the post-integration era, which takes you from about 1960 to the present. And in fact, our last speaker, John Thorne, who's the Major League Baseball historian, he's going to sort of talk about that. You know, what is it now that we've gone through integration? What's sort of the next step? And, you know, we have heard from some people who have worked on this lecture series with us, you know, that there are other minorities in baseball. There are Jewish American baseball players, and there are certainly Hispanic American baseball right. players that had to go through a lot to become, you know, accepted as well. And in fact, the African American leagues, the first team was the Cuban Giants, because there was no reference to them being African American. It was Cuban, and so they would be lulled into thinking they were not African American, but they were in fact Hispanics.
It's a fascinating exhibit. It's Pride and Passion, the African-American Baseball Experience, and it's a traveling exhibit, and it is currently at the Poughkeepsie Library. And you can see it at 93 Market Street, and then the programs take place just next door at 103 Market Street in the auditorium.
That's correct.
And you can find out more information about all of this by going to the website, which has a very cool URL, P-O-K, Poughkeepsie, P-O-K Library, L-I-B, so P-O-K-L-I-B.org, P-O-K-L-I-B.org, and you can find out much, much more, including the times and the dates and times for the programs. Tom Lawrence, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us, and it's just great and exciting this is happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.